He's going to take me from here to there.
Yes.
Amen. I'm counting on him, trusting in his goodness and his love and his mercy. Yes, sir. Closest you can get. Probably 25 years and younger. And of course, we would want the youth pastor and all to be there too, his wife. Praise the Lord. Five and down, or if you feel like you're young at heart, you can get in here too. You know, I appreciate God. I appreciate the presence of God.
Yes, amen.
I appreciate, you know, a place that you can go and feel the presence of God. You know, you can go to a lot of places and they just it's just nothing. Just boredom. But I'm so glad I can, every time we come here, we feel God here.
And,
like this song says, it's worth it all.
Yes, it is.
To do that, amen, to find a place. And you worship with us as we try to sing this song. I don't want a mansion on a hillside. I don't care for wealth or worldly fame. I don't worry when folks around me prosper so. 'Cause I have Jesus,
oh, yes.
And that's worth everything.
Well, it's worth it all to feel this fire that's burning deep within. It's worth it all to know I'm saved and I'm free from sin.
Just to feel
his touch and know that he's coming back again. It's worth it all. It's worth it all.
Once my life was dark and oh so empty.
Oh, how true.
Everything that I did just seemed in vain. But then those nails scarred hands reached out and gently touched me.
Now I had Jesus, and that's worth everything.
Well, it's worth it all to feel.
That's burning deep within. It's worth it all to know I'm saved and I'm free from sin. Oh, just to feel his touch and know that he's coming back again. It's worth it all. It's worth it all.
Yeah, it's worth it all.
To feel
feel, feel the power that's burning deep within. He's worth it all to know
I'm saved and I'm free from sin.
Just to feel
His touch and know that He's coming back again. It's worth it all.
Oh, yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I want to try, brother, the help of the Lord. He's going to help me. I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Probably all of you Bible scholars already know where I'm turning. The book of Ecclesiastes. Praise the Lord. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I want to read one verse, verse number 1. The writer says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Would you please help me pray? Father, I come before you tonight. You know I'm in need of your help, oh dear God. Father, I need that touch, that unction to function tonight, oh God. Help me tonight, oh dear God, in the name of your holy Son, Jesus. I love you and I praise you, dear God. I thank you, dear God, for this honor and privilege you've given me to stand before this people, oh God. Help me tonight, God. Let that river flow. Deal with hearts, oh dear God, Lord. Work your work. Do your will in this service tonight, God, and I'll thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. I want to give you a couple, two or three or four definitions here. But before I do, I want to give you the title of this message, and it may sound a little strange, but you'll understand when I get through. The title of this message is simply Entice Me. Entice Me. The writer said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That word remember simply means to be mindful of. And he said, remember now. That word now in the Hebrew simply means hitherto. And the word hitherto simply means this place. And this place simply means where you are right now. Where you are right now. There's nothing you can do about the past. The future hasn't got here yet. So all you have is right now. Right now. So the writer is telling us, be mindful right now of thy Creator in the days of our youth. You may ask the question, some of you young people may ask the question, why should I be mindful right now of my Creator? when I am young. I'll tell you why. For just a few seconds, I want you to just kind of look around you here tonight. Some of your parents are here. They're getting older.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Some of them, you know, their eyes are getting dim. They are getting hard of hearing. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
The hair is turning gray and some are turning loose. And their knees are getting feeble. So they need you, young people. They need you. I want to go back several years. I mean, I'm talking about now 49 years ago. Before I became a Christian, I've told you my life story. I was one of nine children. My daddy was an alcoholic. My mother was a good woman. Just didn't know Jesus. So I didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about religion, didn't know. I knew there was a heaven, I knew there was a hell, but no one that I knew have ever tried to help me to get out of hell and take me to heaven. So I pretty well, until I was 18 years old, pretty well did about what I wanted to. But the church that I got saved in, before I got saved, there was a handful of old folks.
All right. Come on, preacher.
A handful of old folks. Now, when I say old, I'm talking up in their 70s and 80s and 85. And they got to looking around one day and they said, you know, we got to do something here. They said, if we want this church to continue and to exist, we're going to have to do something. So they started cottage prayer meetings. They started fasting. They started praying for God to get revival and send them some young people that whenever they die, that they can carry on the load. I don't know how long it took, but one day God sent revival to that little church. There was 50 people got saved. 30 of them sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost. I was one of that 50. I was one of that 30. Amen. Them young people were so on fire for God, it was amazing. They were the talk of the town. The school was just across the road from the little church we went to. And when it come lunchtime, you know, they, instead of taking their lunch, they would cross that little gravel road, you know, go over to the church. They'd have prayer meeting during their lunch hour. There was a family in that church, a lot of the, several of the young people that got saved, they had a They had a grandpa that owned a piece of property, and they had a trailer out there in the woods. And many times, bunch of us young people would get together. We'd drive out there and get in that trailer, and I'm telling you, that trailer would start rocking. Amen. People, I'm telling you, young people would be on their knees. They would be weeping and crying. They would be praying and seeking God. Amen. And God worked great wonders and mighty power of God moved in a mighty way in every service. Then we move on a little further down the road. In my wife's home church, after me and her had gotten married, me and her and her younger brother had started a Friday night youth meeting. We told them, parents, you stay at the house. This is just for young folks. We started that prayer meeting. And if I'm not mistaken, my wife may have to correct me, but I believe it was one of these revivals, but I believe it was this one where the first night, 13 received the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. I seen one young lady. She grabbed up the Christian flag and she went out the side door and began to march around the city block, the block, that little town. And every young person in the building followed her, singing and shouting and praising God, marching as they went around, amen, that block. People in that little community say, what in the world's going on down there at that church? Oh, it's just God got a hold of some young people, amen. God saved them, sanctified them, and filled them with the Holy Ghost. Set them on fire for God. Amen. Then a few years later, somewhere in the early 70s, we moved to where we are now, but only about 25, 28 years ago. A little town called Nahanna, Georgia. When we first went there, we started a Friday night meeting. That seemed like that's just what we did whenever we went to a new place. My wife was the main instrument in this movement here. I was there in every service, but God had his hand on her, and she mainly talked and preached to them young people. For the first Friday night meeting that we had, we said, well, we won't preach to them. We won't do much. We'll just have a little weenie roast and play a little volleyball, just kind of get acquainted with them. Well, I had the fire going, the volleyball net up. We was ready to go. All of a sudden, these cars begin pulling in the parking lot, and these young people begin to just, fall out of the vehicles, come walking up to where we were. Them young ladies in some of the tightest jeans, I'm telling you what, they must have just got in the tub and got them soaking wet and put them on this front when they was on them. Makeup, you just name it. We thought, God, are you sure you want us here? But we played our volleyball and we ate our hot dogs. But the next Friday night meeting, big difference. We got them in that church. My wife started teaching and preaching to them. And I don't know how many. There was about 30 or 40 of them. Amen. Most of them not even saved. But I'm telling you what, when that altar call was given, I don't even know how many got saved that night. But they just, they fell in that altar. And they began to worship God, and God saved them. Sanctified them and baptized them with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, they began to just, it was a marvelous thing to watch God take those young people. They'd get out on the streets and they'd knock doors. And amen, they invite people to church. Amen, come on now. Amen. Again, the neighborhood say, my, what in the world is going on down there in that little old church? I'm telling you all, revival just broke out, all it was. Amen. We trained them young people. We said, now listen. Amen. When people come to that altar, they need prayer. We want you to get up out of your seat, and we want you to go down there where they are, and we want you to lay hands on them and pray for them. And I'll tell you what, when people come down for prayer, they just, they fell out of their pews. They come, and they'd stand behind them. And I know y'all work that a little different here than what we do down south. Amen. Down south, we pray for anybody. If they need prayer, we just pray for them. Yeah. And that's just what they did. We trained them that way. And so all three of these revivals that I spoke to you about tonight, they were all geared to young people. There wasn't really much taking place among the middle-aged and the older folks. It was just God, Amen. Just got a hold of some young people. Amen. In fact, the last place we were at, amen, in Nahanna, Georgia, some of the young people, they said,
We wanted to do right. We wanted to live right. But she said there was nobody that would take the time with us and show us and help us and lead us and guide us. You come along, amen, and you fed us and you taught us and you preached to us. And that is what we were longing for, amen. And revival broke out. I'm telling you, every one of these revivals, amen, were geared to just young people. It revolutionized those three churches. It put a fire back into those churches. They regained a lot of ground that they lost over the years. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to give me a quick answer. Don't take long because we don't have long. But I want to ask you this question. How many of you are fixing to graduate from school, high school? Anybody? One. All right. How many of you are fixing to go to college? Anybody? There's one, two. Okay. My question is this. What do you plan to do with your life? What kind of career are you looking for? All right, I know a lot of you didn't hear half of what they said, because I didn't either. I just seen that, you know how young people are, they're real quiet when they get around folks, but when they really get mad, they really show their real colors. But I did this for a purpose, and I want to ask you another question, not just you, but anybody here. Why was their answers, those that gave an answer, why was their answers all carnal?
Come on, preacher. Obey the Lord.
Think about it now. Another question. Why are these young people seeking a ministry for God?
Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Yes. Have your way, Holy Ghost.
Why don't they want to be missionaries? Why don't they want to be pastors? Why don't they want to be evangelists or teachers of the Word of God? Not one of them said, I want to be a preacher. Not one of them said, I want to be a missionary. Not one of them said, I want God to use me as a pastor. Every answer they gave was a carnal answer. And don't get me wrong, I know that you've got the work. I understand that. But the main desire of your life should be working for God. Ain't that right? This message is twofold. For the young people, I'm going to sort of talk to the older folks too. Why don't they want to be missionaries? Brother Pastor, how long has it been, not just here, but how long has it been since you've heard a young person say, God's called me to be a missionary?
All right. Come on.
I cannot give you a time how long it's been. Come on, I'm trying to bring this to a point. Why don't they want to be a pastor? Why don't they want to preach the word? Why don't they want to teach the word? For the most part, with your permission, I want to give you the answer to this question. And please listen to me. I'm talking now on the carnal side here. If a woman wants to entice a man, she doesn't put on a baggy dress, put on combat boots, and don't fix her hair up. Why? She knows that won't entice a man. She knows to entice a man, he must see some flesh. Come on. What are you talking about? Mini skirts. High heel shoes. Bulging and revealing cleavage. That will get a man's attention. That will entice him. Holiness, young people, they have been trained in strict holiness, of which I am proud. I'm proud of your standard. I am. I love your standard. Hear me now. They have been taught, amen, the importance of proper dress and giving to God their tenth and their offering. They have been taught faithfulness to the house of God. But can I tell you, they may never tell you, but I want to tell you, probably at least 90% of these young people's hearts tonight, their heart's cry is simply this. Give me a reason. Give me an answer why I should be mindful right now of my Creator while I'm young. These young people would say, if somebody would just entice me. You understand what I'm saying? If somebody would just entice me, let me see more than just an outward standard. Let me see God working in your lives. See the power of God flowing through you. Church, you're going to have to entice these young people to work for God. You're going to have to give them a reason to live for God at a young age.
That's right.
Isn't that right? All right. I want to use your mind tonight as a canvas. I want to paint you a picture. Picture with me this young man. He's got him a basketball underneath his arm. He wants to play a little basketball, so he goes to his friend's house. He finds his friend sitting on the front porch. George, what you doing? You see it? I'm just sitting here doing nothing. Killing time. Come on. Let's play a little basketball. Hey, man, it's almost dark. That's okay. We can play. We can shoot a few hoops. Come on. Come on. All right. He jumps off the porch and follows him. Goes on down the road a ways. And here's Danny. Danny, what you doing? Well, just killing time, nothing really important to do. Come on, let's play some basketball. All right, he beats this sitting around. Several stops they made on the way. Got several boys. You know, here they are. I'm no basketball player, okay? But here they are. They'd been there now for a couple of hours. It's already got dark. stop a while. Can't shoot no more. Make no more hoops. Too dark. So they're just standing there bouncing the ball. Just nothing to do. Nothing to do. Huh? All of a sudden, they hear this voice that says, "Hey!" And these boys turn and look, and there stood a lieutenant French soldier. He said, "Follow me!" All right. One of them spoke up and said, "What's in it for us?" He said, "Hungry bellies, bleeding feet, but you can be a part of the greatest, greatest victory that France has ever seen in her life."
All right. All right. Come
on. What'd they do? They dropped the ball. Turn and follow that lieutenant. To battle. You would think, what would cause these young men to walk away from a home? Probably three meals a day, good clothes to wear, bed to sleep in at night. What would cause them to walk away from that, to become a part of an army whose feet are bleeding for walking for miles and miles, and whose belly's hungry because they haven't eaten anything for days? It was because that general gave them a purpose for living and a reason to die. He gave them a purpose. What is it to just stand and bounce a ball? Huh? I mean, what kind of future is that, folks? Just bouncing a ball. But lieutenant said, "I'll tell you what's in it for you. Your feet's gonna be bloody. Your stomach's gonna get hungry because you're gonna walk for days and days. You'll go without anything to eat for days because you don't have nothing to eat." But thank God it didn't stop there. He said, "But you're going to also be a part of the greatest victory that France has ever seen." They dropped the ball. That's all they needed. Amen. Gave him something to live for. And a reason to die for something. Some people don't mind dying if it's for a good purpose. Well, before that general came along, they had no purpose in life except to just bounce a ball. They had no real reason for living. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, you're going to have to give these young people a purpose for living for Jesus. You're going to have to give them a reason to die for him. And the only way you can do that is if you will entice them into it. Amen. You see, I have discovered this over the years, that most young people are ready. They just need somebody to give them a reason to do it. thing, son, for your mom and dad to say, hey, boy, you better get your life straight. You better get saved and give your heart to God. You're going to hell. It's more than that. Yes, he needs to hear that. He needs to hear that if he don't get right with God, he ain't going to make it to heaven. He needs that. But I'm telling you, you got to give him more than that. You got to give him more than that. If you'll entice them into this thing, I'm telling you, if you'll just entice them, let them see something in you, I'm telling you what, they'll leave their ball and they'll follow you wherever you go. We need to give them a reason other than just going to heaven. And don't get me wrong, that's a good reason. But if you're going to keep young people in the church working for God, we're going to have to give them a good reason to do so. Just teaching them on Sunday, preaching to them on Wednesday, preaching to them on Sunday morning and Sunday night is not enough. But the sad part about it is, saints, this is all young people are getting everywhere you go. You better make sure your hair's right. You better make sure them sleeves are right. You better make sure that hymn's long enough. I'm telling you, you better walk right. You better talk right. You better live right. I'm here today to tell you these young people need more than that. And you know our standard. I believe in wholeness. If I didn't, I wouldn't be up here. I know your pastor's good. He wouldn't let me hear. But I'll tell you, folks, we want young people to do good, live right, and work for God. But how can you ask them to do it when they don't see much out of you? Did them young people bless me a while ago? Oh, yes. I felt it, folks. I felt it. Yes, sir. That's a blessing. Amen. When people can sing and you can feel it, you know, whenever they sing. But, folks, listen to me. If we're going to keep them and keep them in church, and keep them living for God, we're going to have to present Jesus so real to them that they can't keep but serving him. Amen. A few months ago, I heard the story, true story, about a young lady. I can't remember if it was her parents or her grandparents. They were missionaries. And this young lady, she was in her early 20s, beautiful young lady. Smart, brilliant. She had it all. One day she ended up on the mission field. One day somebody asked her, can I ask you a question? She said, yes. He said, you're a beautiful young lady. You're smart. If you wanted to be, you could be anything in this world you wanted to be. Why in this world Did you choose to be a missionary? This was her reply. I couldn't be anything less. He said, well, what do you mean? She said, I can't remember if it was her parents or her grandparents. But then whenever they would come home on leave, that mother or father, who it was, would tell this young girl, from a child, the great and marvelous and the wonderful things, glorious things that they seen God do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, casting out them devils, amen. Healing the crippled, amen. Healing the dumb and the blind. And that young girl just sitting there eating it all up as a little girl. Oh, God, so captivated with it. Amen. And year after year, amen, they come home and tell what great, wonderful things. And she said, you ask me why I'm a missionary? My God, I couldn't do anything less. What do you mean? They presented Jesus Christ so real to me, I just had to be a missionary. Christianity should be enticing. I was on the phone a few months ago with a preacher, and we were talking about the laxity, the unconcern, and how so many churches have dropped off so bad, so few going anymore. And I asked him the question. I said, well, what do you think the problem is? He said, Brother Mathis, he said the church just cannot keep up with this world. Just cannot keep up with this world. I didn't mention it then, didn't think about it then, but I thought about it today. I wished I could have told him, brother, there was a time when the world couldn't keep up with the church.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. There was a time whenever revival would break out in a town, that the bars would have to close the doors because every one of the drunks got saved. They were more interested in hearing what was going on at that old holy church. They saw strange things. Wonderful things. My God, something they never seen. They said, I gotta have it. I gotta have that. Carnival would move into town during revival. They'd have to shut it down because everybody was at the revival. Nobody on the Ferris wheel. Nobody on the carousel. Nobody doing nothing. Everybody in the church. Everybody in the altar. Everybody getting saved. There was a time when the world could not compete with the church. But now we're saying we can't compete with the world. What's wrong? What's wrong? And you know I love you. I love you very much. But the majority of our churches are not enticing. Oh, we got a lot of shout. Got a good singing.
Got a halfway decent preacher. I'm talking about myself now, not him. But you know how many times? Do you know how many times this pastor's boy has heard his daddy preach? You know how many times my four children have heard me preach? You know how many times some of you have sat under preachers in this same church for years and years and years? But yet, nothing here. And I'm not saying just here, but nothing in most churches are there to entice people, especially young people. Nothing to entice them, to make them want to give their young life to Jesus. But if they could just see it out of us, if they could just see the power of God flow through us. If they could see signs and wonders and miracles wrought by our hands. Then that would entice them to want to stay. Come on, Sister Mathis. This is what the young people of our day need. They need more than just to hear a sermon. They need to see a sermon. They need to see it. They need to see it worked out in our lives as adults. Brother, I remember when I first got saved, there was a man in my church. Don't get me wrong when I say this. I almost idolized that man. He was so anointed. He was so spiritual. I mean, I'd just sit there on my pew when he'd stand up to testify. My mouth open like a little hungry bird. And I watched as the Spirit of God moved on him. And the Spirit of God would speak through him. I said to myself, God, I want to be like that. I want to be like that, God. And that's what these young people are looking for. Spiritual mentor. Someone that not only could tell them, but show them. Young people, it's up to you tonight. You can keep bouncing your ball, or you can just throw it down and follow the man. To be something for God. It's your choice. And you know something, young people? As desperately as we all need people that will show us how it's done, that doesn't excuse us. We can still get it done ourselves. You can still get it done yourself. If you're willing to have bloody feet and hungry bellies, you can do it. It's up to you. But mama and daddies, aunt and uncles, grandma and grandpas, it's our job to entice these young people. To entice them. So when I come back 20 years from now, these same young people will be here are either on a mission field somewhere or out on the field preaching the gospel. That's what we want. That's what we want. Young people, God's calling you tonight. He's calling you to make a difference. Just like them three youth revivals I told you about. Those young people revolutionized every church. You can do it the same here, young people. And I'm not, I know you got a good church, but it could be gooder. It can be better. You get on fire for God. You let the Holy Ghost start using you, and you'll just see what it'll do to this church. Amen?
Oh, yes.
Young people, I want you to come pray. And I want you to pour your heart out to God and say, God, I want you to use me. I don't care where you want to send me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Please, let me. I know it's late. God help me.
Go ahead and obey the Lord, brother. Obey the Holy Ghost.
Anybody here ever read the books called Jesus Freaks? Anybody here? You need to get them. Read them. They're called Jesus Freaks. What is it, preacher? Have you ever read the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs? Basically the same thing. It just tells little stories of Christians who gave their life for God, for God and Christ and his cause. But I just want to tell you this story. They found this teenage girl. They said she was a beautiful young girl, 15, 16, 17 years old. They found that she had become a Christian. They told her, if you would denounce Christ, you could live. But if you don't, you're going to die. She said, I'll never denounce the love of my life. They took her and they cut a hole in the wall of the city. They put her inside the wall. They began to lay blocks. They got to her knees. They said, if you'll deny Christ, you can come out. She said, never. They laid them up to her chest. Deny Christ and you can get out. Never. They laid it all the way up over her head. Sealed her in. Dead for Jesus. They took another young lady. 17 years old. The book says she was absolutely gorgeous. She became a Christian. They took her in a boat. When the tide was out, they went and put a pole in the ground in the land where there was no water. They took the young lady, tied her to that post. And then they set out there in the boat and said, if you'll deny Christ, we'll let you go. No, never will. All of a sudden, the tide began to come back in. Is Jesus worth dying for?
Yes.
People on the bank would holler at her, deny Christ, deny Christ. You're too young, you're too beautiful, don't die. Never. Tide kept rising and rising and rising. He got up to her neck and they said, if you'll just deny Christ, we'll turn you loose, you can go. She said, never. And the tide just went over her head. You're going to have that kind of faith, young people. Wasn't it you that said a while ago?
Yes.
Get grounded. Get grounded. I don't know what we're going to face in the near future, but if you're not grounded, you're going to make it. But young people, I want you to come. And I want you to pour your heart out to God. I want you to pray like you've never prayed in your life. That God would use you. Not as a dentist. Not as a doctor.
I was surely hoping that none of you would say, I'm going to be a lawyer. Jesus said, woe unto you lawyers. I know there might be a few good ones, but I like hen's teeth. But all of that will fade away.
Yes, it will.
When God speaks to your heart, it tells you what he wants you to do. Come on, young people. Mom and daddies, these young people are going to pray now.